But one of the questions we often ask kids is, what do you want to be when you grow up? My kids have given lots of different answers to that question over the years. They've talked about being a doctor or a nurse or a veterinarian or a construction worker, firefighter, police officer. This past week, we had another conversation about what they wanted to be when they grow up. And Becca currently wants to be a librarian. She loves books. If you know Becca, she's always got a book in front of her, so a librarian kind of makes sense. James loves to play with Legos. It's his favorite toy. And so he currently wants to be an architect when he grows up. I imagine both of those will change over the years, and they'll end up being something completely different. But, you know, it's kind of fun to ask kids and think about what they want to be when they grow up. When I was little, before my sister was born, we lived in one house, and then after she was born, we moved to another. But in that first house, when I was, you know, 2 or 3 years old, we had a big window in the front of the house. And each week I would go and look out the window as the garbage men came. And I got so excited to see them. They'd wave at me in the window, they'd pick up our trash. And so whenever my mom would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, when I was that age, I would say, and get this, a garbage can. I messed up the M and the N, apparently. I wanted to be a garbage can when I was little. But then when I got older, when I got to be about high school age, I still really didn't know what kind of profession I wanted to be in. I hadn't felt called into the ministry at that point. And so when people would ask me, especially in high school, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would say happy. I want to be happy when I grow up. And I kind of still appreciate that impulse to move away from just naming a profession or a job, but to naming kind of a state of being. I think if I were to revise that today, I wouldn't say happy necessarily. That's really just kind of an emotional state. I would say something more like fulfilled or content, or I would have a purpose in life and real meaning. So I still kind of appreciate that impulse to move away from a job or profession when talking about what you want to be when you grow up into something else. But I wonder even if there's a different question we should ask kids and even ask ourselves. And that question is not who do you want to be or not what do you want to be when you grow up, but who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? What are the character qualities that you wish you would embody? What are the characteristics that you wish you would have as a person? As we're raising kids, we want them to be kind to people. We want them to be good friends. We want them to be honest and trustworthy. We want them to be good friends to others. We want all these different things, these different qualities and characteristics that our kids will embody, not just now, but as they grow up to be grown-ups and adults. And so what are the qualities that you wish you had? Who do you want to be? In the church, part of what we believe is that God is at work in us to shape us and mold us into the people that God wants us to be. That God has a say in the answer to that question of who do you want to be? Now, we call that sanctification. It's kind of a big churchy word. And the idea behind it is that God is at work in us, shaping us and molding us and helping us to become who God intends for us to be. And of course, we believe that who God intends for us to be is like Jesus Christ, to love as Christ has loved. And there's lots of different forms that that takes. There's lots of different things that that looks like. But who do you want to be? Maybe there's a particular characteristic that you could come to mind right now, a character quality that you wish you embodied, but that you don't necessarily, at least fully, in the way that you want to. Our scripture passage lists out some of these. You can see them up on the screen now. And Paul, in his letter, writes and says, think about these things. Keep your mind on these things. If there's anything like this in the world, if there's anything that's true, if there's anything that's just, if there's anything that's honorable, if there's anything that's pure, that's commendable, all these different things, think about those things. Surround yourself with those things so that you might become like those things. So that all of these qualities might become part of who you are. And so in some ways, the answer to that question of who do you want to be, we could answer using this list. And there's other lists like this in the Bible. I think of the Ten Commandments in particular. During the summer, we're going to have a sermon series pretty much all summer long about the Ten Commandments. And those are 10 things that we could embody to live out how we're supposed to be. There's the fruit of the Spirit. You might remember we sing a song about that occasionally. We sing it on the retreat in particular. But it's to be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things are part of the qualities that we might wish to embody. And there are other lists as well. I think about the Beatitudes when Jesus says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, all those different kinds of things. Or Paul, in many of his letters, he writes out lists and says, don't do this and do this instead. So there are lots of places in Scripture and in our faith that we can point to think about who it is we might want to be, who we're called to be. Maria is the main character in The Sound of Music. And she is wrestling with that same kind of question. She's wondering who it is she is supposed to be. At the start of the musical, she is in training to be a nun. And the nuns aren't quite sure the answer to that question either. They sing a song called, it's called Maria, but part of the lyrics are, how do you solve a problem like Maria, right? She doesn't quite fit in there at the convent. And they're not sure that that's really the best fit for her, and she is not sure that it's the best fit for her either. She's wrestling with who it is she is called to be, who she really is deep down at her core. And so Mother Superior sends her off and has a task for her, a job for her, and she goes to the Von Trapp family. This is set in Austria. Can we move the, yeah, perfect, there we go. Beautiful, you know, swinging in the countryside up on the hills. And she goes to the Von Trapp family, and they have 7 children. And Captain Von Trapp is the head of the family. He was a captain in the German Navy. This is set in the 1930s in Austria. And his wife has passed away. And so it's left to him to raise these 7 children on his own, and he simply needs some help. Now, the children live a very disciplined and kind of military-influenced life. They have these uniforms that they have to wear. They line up in a straight line. They respond to this whistle that he blows. They each have kind of a particular symbol, all this kind of stuff. And Maria, when she gets there, she begins to think that maybe this isn't the way that childhood is supposed to be spent. That the children need to be surrounded by getting to play and going outdoors and singing music and all these kinds of things. And so she introduces all these into their life. She teaches them to sing. She takes them outside and they run around in the countryside and they play. She even takes the old drapes from her room and makes play clothes for them when they go outside so they don't have to wear their uncomfortable uniforms. And all this is kind of behind the scenes, behind the back of Captain Von Trapp, because he wouldn't approve of these kinds of behaviors and activities. And so there's one time where Captain Von Trapp is out of town. He's gone to get the Baroness, who he's thinking about marrying. And then on his way back, as he drives through, he notices the children playing outside, climbing trees and going in a rowboat and all this kind of stuff. And so when he gets back to the house and the children get there as well, he is upset. And so he sends the children inside and he goes to confront Maria and to discipline her. And so let's see what happens when that occurs.
Now, Fräulein, I want a truthful answer from you.
Yes, Captain.
Is it possible, or could I have just imagined it? Have my children, by any chance, been climbing trees today?
Yes, Captain.
I see. And where, may I ask, did they get these...
Play clothes.
Oh, is that what you call them?
I made them. From the drapes that used to hang in my bedroom.
Drapes?
They still have plenty of wear left. The children have been everywhere in them.
Do you mean to tell me that my children have been roaming about Salzburg dressed up in nothing but some old drapes?
Mm-hmm. And having a marvelous time.
They have uniforms.
Straitjackets, if you'll forgive me.
I will not forgive you for that.
Children cannot do all the things they're supposed to do if they have to worry about spoiling their precious clothes.
I haven't heard them
complain yet. Well, they wouldn't dare. They love you too much. They fear you too much.
I don't wish you to discuss my children in this manner.
Well, you've got to hear from someone. You're never home long enough to know them.
I don't want to hear any more from you about my children.
I know you don't, but you've got to. Now, take Liesel.
You'll not say one word about
Liesel. You've got a child anymore. One of these days you're going to wake up and find she's a woman. You won't even know her. And Friedrich, he's a boy, but he wants to be a man like you, and there's no one to show him how.
Don't you dare tell me about my son.
Brigitte could tell you about him if you'd let her get close to you. She notices everything. And Kurt pretends he's tough, not to show how hurt he is when you brush him aside.
That'll do.
The way you do all of them. Louisa, I don't know about it, but someone has to find out about her, and the little ones just want to be loved. Oh, please, Captain, love them. Love them all.
I don't care to hear anything further from you about my children.
I am not finished yet, Captain.
Oh, yes, you are, Captain. Fräulein. Now, you will pack your things this minute.
The courage that it took for her to stand up to the captain and to name all those things, all those ways that he was failing as a parent, all those things that his children need that he's not being able to provide. Courage. Courage because she cares about those kids. Courage. That's another one of those things that that I think those qualities that we want to embody and to have. The courage to care. It took a lot for her to stand up. I don't know that I have that much courage. Maybe I do, given the right situation, but it took a lot for her to stand up to this man who was her boss, who was powerful in society and in the world, to stand up and advocate for those children. It took courage. The story is set in Austria in the 1930s, and the part of the plot is that the Nazi party is coming to power in Germany, and they want to annex Austria. And because of all that, I'm reminded of someone else who resisted the Nazi party. And that's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Many of you may be familiar with him. He was a German pastor and theologian during the same time period. And he really wrestled with what his calling was as a pastor and as a Christian in the face of the Nazi party and the evil that it represented. Does he flee? Does he get out of there and escape to America or somewhere else to be safe and then to write about how things might need to change? Or does he stay there and does he resist and work behind the scenes or even out front and try to stand up to this evil and injustice and oppression that was happening? And he really struggles with that. You can see it in his writing, and he decides to stay there in Germany and to advocate for change, to stand up and to resist. And eventually he's arrested because of it. He's placed in a concentration camp, and then he is ultimately executed for being part of a plot to assassinate Hitler. His most famous work is called The Cost of Discipleship. And in it he writes that the grace of Jesus Christ might be free for us, but it's not cheap. It costs us something to follow Jesus. We have to take up our cross. It costs us something. It requires courage on our part to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to embody all those characteristics and qualities that Jesus embodied, to live out those things that were listed on the screen from the book of Philippians. It takes courage to care, to love others. And it can't just happen once, right? This is a thing that has to happen over and over and over again. The second verse of the passage that we read tells us to keep on. Keep on doing the things that you have learned. There has to be perseverance. It's not just as in one day you can decide, oh, I'm going to be truthful. And then, bam, you're truthful. You can't just decide, oh, I'm going to be upright. And all of a sudden, you're upright. Or, oh, I'm going to be excellent, and oh, there you go, I'm excellent. No, it takes work each and every day. Just like when we ask children what they want to be when they grow up, and it takes a lot of work to become whatever profession they choose. They have to go to school, they have to go to training, they have to get education, they have to do internships and apprentices and all this kind of stuff. So it is in shaping our character. It takes work. We can decide these characteristics that we want to embody, but we don't just automatically embody them. We have to work at it. And indeed, we have to let God work in and through us to shape us, to live into those things. That is God's work in our life. And so again, I would invite you to think about what is one characteristic that you feel called to embody, that you wish you would embody, that maybe you aren't as much as you hope to right now. And begin to think about that characteristic. Begin to pray about it. Invite God to work in your life to shape you into that particular thing. So maybe it's that you want to be truthful, and you struggle with that. And so ask God to help you be more truthful, and then start to practice that with others. Or maybe it's that you want to be gentle, and sometimes you're a little harsh with other people. And so begin to pray about how God might work in you to be more gentle, and begin to practice that. At the end of the musical, Maria comes back from the convent. She was sent away at the end of that scene that we watched. And she comes back, and she and Captain Von Trapp fall in love, and they get married, and then the annexation of Austria happens by Nazi Germany. And Captain Von Trapp is conscripted into the German Navy. He's required to come and to serve, even though he's opposed to the Nazi Party and everything that they stand for. And so he decides that he and his family must flee. They must run away and escape. And so there's this wonderful scene at the end where they're in this musical contest. The children have learned to sing beautifully by this point, and they perform in this show, and then they're about ready to announce the winner, and it's the Von Trapp family. And so they announce them, but they don't come out on screen or on the stage. And they announce them again, and nothing. And announce them one more time, and eventually the Nazis realize that, oh, this is, they're escaping. They're trying to flee. And so the Nazis start to chase them, and then let's watch and see what happens.
Reverend Mother, I have sinned.
I too, Reverend Mother. What is this sin, my children?
We got the car parts. I don't know about you, but I want to be like those nuns. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Captain Von Trapp and escape when things are evil in the world. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and stand up and resist against evil and injustice. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Maria, having the courage to advocate and to care for people who don't have power. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Jesus, embodying love for all people in the world. The courage to care. With God's help, we're on our way. Amen.